darkness came over the whole land. At 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The final stop on his journey.
Amen. Journey to the cross. We're thankful for the cross of Jesus. Amen. It's great to see all of you here today. Praise the Lord. We're entering into our Easter season, and I'm excited about water baptism service next Sunday. Last week I introduced you to, if you were here in the second service, to Sina, a young man who gave his heart to the Lord, grew up in Iran as a Muslim all his life, but came here and gave his heart to Jesus. He's getting baptized next Sunday. Amen? That's exciting. Praise God. But every salvation is exciting. Praise God. So I want to share with you a testimony. I've been encouraging people to reach out to others, pray with them in the moment. This comes from Chuck, who's coming to our second service. He says, Pastor Perry, this past Sunday afternoon, I finally listened to you and to God's nudges for me to pray with someone that may need it. After weeks of nonstop, grueling, busy days, my mental exhaustion was hitting a wall. How many know what that's like? I didn't feel like I had enough time for him and was taking the time to spend with him, and I could feel that my spirit was being challenged. I kept asking God to give me a break with some peace, and he did just that, starting on Saturday when we won our conference championship. TCC won the conference championship. Hey! Which was the start of an amazing couple of days. Sunday started with feeling the Holy Spirit the minute I woke up, and that sense of joy and peace was starting to fill me. I went to the 9 a.m. service where I was honored to witness two teenage girls give their life to Christ. Someone say, praise the Lord. That was last week. And afterwards, I got to hold and play with babies in the infant nursery. Isn't that exciting? Then that afternoon, he did an event with a friend, and he was invited to go to McClay Gardens for a fundraiser for the Judy Field Memorial Foundation, which raises money for pancreatic cancer awareness and research. Because I knew I could use this type of relaxing afternoon, I agreed to go. Here's where God showed me his power to me again. I'd never been to McClay, and I immediately appreciated the beauty. I was sitting in peace, enjoying the music and beautiful scenery, when I decided to take a walk to the lake. As I got to the water, I began to pray, thanking God for the weekend he was giving me and also for all of this beautiful creations he made in nature. As I was walking back up, I noticed a young lady with her head down, looking like she was wiping a tear away. That was the first nudge I ignored when God told me to speak to her. How many know what it's like to ignore God's nudges? We both walked over to an area that was called Garden of Angels. It had plants, flowers, benches, and two fence-type structures with a bunch of white cards hanging from clothespins on them. I started to read these cards and immediately realized it was an area of tribute to loved ones that had passed. A few statements had, "Miss you, Grandma," "Cancer sucks," and one that stood out to me stated, "May you rest in peace, Dad, but I still hate you." That reminded me of the deep hurt people carry with them and how painful life can be. I grabbed a white card to go right, and I saw this same young lady sitting on the bench clearly upset. The second nudge from God told me to go sit next to her, and of course, I didn't do it again. I went and sat on the bench on the other side and began to write to my Aunt Carol. She was my mom's sister, but absolutely her best friend, was the salt of the earth, a true angel from heaven. As I got up to go hang my card, I was full of emotions I wasn't expecting to have that day. The young lady was now walking away, and then I asked her if she wanted to pray over her cards. The young lady was immediately, she turned and said, "Yes." Shanna was her name, and her mom's was Donna. Donna was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and passed 2 months, quick months, later in June. Shanna drove from Fort Myers that day just for the festival. After learning of her story, we just stood there, hugged, cried, and I prayed for her and for the peace that I know God can give her. Once we were finished, she kept thanking me for praying with her, but she also told me how she had been thinking that she needs more God in her life. I am so blessed that he gave me the chance to hopefully help her seek him more in her life. Isn't that amazing how God can use circumstances like this? Thanks, Pastor Perry, for opening my mind and my spirit to be aware of times that someone needs a word from our mighty, mighty Lord. Praise God! God wants to use you and I, no matter how big or how small. This morning I begin a new series called Journey to the Cross. It's about significant places and stops in Jesus' life on his way to the cross. What did that look like? Jesus had a mission. He came to give his life for the salvation of the world. He was on a mission that was going to end up on the cross. He shared the good news with as many people as he could, but that started out, Jesus started out way before that Good Friday weekend. I want to share 3 things about Jesus this morning. Number one, Jesus was way before creation. Jesus was before creation. Jesus just didn't show up on Christmas Day. He was way before creation. Jesus started out not as a baby, but Jesus is God. Amen. Let me say that again. Jesus is God. In fact, he's the second person of the Trinity. Just going to teach a little bit today. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are 3 in 1. Someone say amen. Amen. I want to take you to a scripture in John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That light, that Word, is Jesus. Someone say amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the Word. I thank you for Jesus, who came to give us life, to give us hope. And I pray that today, as we begin to talk about the cross, that you will help each one of us to submit to the cross, to submit our life, to submit our families, to submit our needs to the cross. For we need you. I need you right now. Every person in this room needs you. Tallahassee needs you. And I thank you for this precious Word in Jesus' name. Amen. The Word is Jesus. He already existed. Jesus was present at creation. In fact, he created everything. I love the scripture in Revelation 13:8 says, "And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life. That belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. There was a plan in place to bring Jesus to the cross even before the world was made. Aren't you glad that none of this took God by surprise? Aren't you thankful that none of your life takes God by surprise? As tragic as things happen in our life, God is in control. To wait for the right time. As you read through the Old Testament, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting, when is Jesus going to come? How is he going to come? They were expecting him to come on a white horse and conquer the Romans, but he didn't come like that. He came in a manger. His ways are higher than ours. His ways are not our ways. How many want to know God's timing? How many would just, I've said many times, Lord, if you want to write down your plan on a wall for me, that would be great. I want to know when the rapture's coming. I want to know when the end days. But God does not do it like that. He gives us pictures and he gives us moments and he gives us glimpses. But even then, they didn't know exactly when. They were just looking for the Messiah. I love Jesus sharing this. This is an incredible line. It's one of my most favorite lines of Jesus. Later on, when he grew up, he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees. And he said to them, look at this in John chapter 8. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. Now, can you just picture the people listening? He saw it and was glad. The people said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus answered, now this is it. I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Amen. Whoa. Wow. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. I love that about Jesus. He just declared something powerful. I want to take you back to the Old Testament. He was referring to Moses in the burning bush. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So folks, don't go around declaring I am about yourself. Jesus, he should not be saying he is the I am unless he is. Everybody in the Jewish culture knew the story. So when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, it sounded unbelievable. That's why they thought it was blasphemous. So we know that Jesus is God. He was before creation and he is eternal. Can I hear an amen on that? The second thing about Jesus, he was placed in a manger. I've got a manger here that Ben made for a couple of Christmases ago, and we're gonna use it as an illustration today. So Jesus stepped out of heaven into creation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. He gave up his divine privileges. How many have ever given up privileges for a bigger cause? Jesus became flesh and blood. Now watch this. He created the first Adam out of dirt, but then he became that same dirt called flesh. He was cradled in his mother's arms, and then she placed him in the manger. Luke 2, 6 through 7, it says, while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now, Bethlehem was known for its sheep raising. King David raised sheep when he was a lad. It was not too far away from Jerusalem. So raising sheep for sacrifices was a common thing for shepherds. It was a common job. Sacrificial lambs had to be without blemish or without fault. So get this. When a newborn lamb was born, if it was around this time, the shepherds would check out this newborn lamb. If there was no spots, no blemishes, no faults, they would wrap that little bitty lamb, and many times they would lay it in a manger to calm it down. And that lamb was getting prepared to one day be sacrificed. Bethlehem was known for its sheep raising. So when Jesus, born without blemish or without sin, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and he was placed in a manger as well. This is not just any lamb. This was the perfect Lamb of God. Do you see the symbolism there? Now, the shepherds who gathered around the Bethlehem stable where the Lamb of God was born, they were not witnessing anything new except who was in the manger. The most important sacrificial lamb who had ever been born, the lamb who would close down the slaughterhouse of sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. Yes. Jesus presented himself as both sheep and the shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Yes. The sheep now have a good shepherd who feeds them and does not slaughter them. The sheep now have a good shepherd who is one of them and understands them as one of them. The sheep now have a good shepherd who covers up all their spots and blemishes and presents us as spotless and blameless. That is why John the Baptist, now watch this, when he was walking down the road, he saw Jesus and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." I want you to get this picture about the Lamb of God who was laid as a baby in a manger. Wow. One of the other things that I've realized studying this, I did not know this before. Maybe I heard this, but I did not know this. And some of you have probably heard this, but I'm going to share this with you. That every Palm Sunday before Passover, all of these lambs that were raised, they were now a year old, there would be a processional into Jerusalem of all these hundreds of lambs. And they would bring them to the temple where people could then purchase them. Now get this. They would purchase them, bring them into their homes for that week. And they would treat them as a pet. And all the kids would fall in love with them. Oh, isn't that little lamb cute? And then they'd had to present that to be sacrificed. And the priest would ask them this question, "Do you love this lamb?" And if they said, "Nah, it was no sacrifice, get rid of that thing." But if they were like, "Yeah, we love it. We don't want to see it die," that was a sacrifice. And they would sacrifice the lambs then on the Passover. Well, they would do that every Palm Sunday before Passover. But one Palm Sunday, in walks with the procession, not just one of the many lambs, but in, riding on the colt of a donkey, is one who is the perfect Lamb of God. Do you see how awesome God is? That perfect Lamb of God. And the people began shouting and crying and saying, Hosanna. We'll talk about Palm Sunday down the road. But I want you to see that little lamb who was laid in the manger, how God laid that all out for the world. The ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins, my sins, your sins, your neighbor's sins, the whole world's sins. That just makes me want to praise the Lord. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third thing that I want to talk about is his mission from the manger to the cross. Jesus grew up and began his mission. He was born to die. He was born to die and to bring the good news to the world. His life was so full of purpose. Every step, every move he made was orchestrated by the Father. Every person he talked to, every healing he did, he was in constant talk with the Father. Amen. When he healed a blind man, it pointed to him being the Messiah. You see, no one could heal a man born blind except the Messiah. When he healed the lepers and diseases that were so bad, he showed his power over the unclean and over sickness. When he forgave somebody, it's coming down faster than I meant. When he forgave someone of their sin, he showed the power over sin. Many times confronting the Pharisees, they said, how can he forgive sins? Well, Jesus has the power over sin. When he ate with sinners, he showed the world and believers that we need to love the sinner and reach out to those in need of a Savior. Amen. When he cast out demons, he put hell on all alert that he had the power over darkness and over the demonic powers. Amen. When he forgave the woman caught in adultery, he showed ultimate mercy and compassion. When he confronted the scribes and Pharisees, he was confronting religion and the control of men over people and showing us a better way to get to God. When he blessed the little children, he was showing us the value of all people, including children who were looked down upon. And he told us that we must approach the kingdom of God like a little child. Yes. And when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he proved that he had the power over death and that he is the ultimate source of life. Hallelujah. And then, from the manger, to the cross, we can make this work. His purpose was fulfilled. We sang that song today. It is done. It is finished. Everything that I just mentioned that Jesus has the power over, he fulfilled on the cross. Yes. He didn't just say, well, it was just for that time. It was just for these stories. He was saying, that is for you and I. the power over sickness, the power over sin, the power over death. The cross proved that his power is available for us today. And so he died on that cross, but then on Easter morning, he rose again to make it fulfilled for all eternity. Can someone say amen? All we have to do is believe and turn our life over to him. Those sins, those addictions have to fall powerless to Jesus. Those sicknesses, those worries, those fears are subject to Jesus. This morning, as we talk about from the manger to the cross, I want you to know Jesus, and there's power for you today. Will you stand with me today? Take a look at this cross. This is a pretty cross compared to what Jesus was on. Blood flowed for you and me. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, your mission from the manger to the cross. You came to give us life. You came to give us healing. You came to give us hope. And Lord, today, whatever we are facing, we can come to you because you bring us hope. You bring us salvation and peace in a world that's full of chaos and full of madness. And we thank you for your mission. We thank you that you fulfilled all of this on Calvary. In Jesus' name.